Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Tes. We left off on daf Ches Amid Beis, right in the middle of the page. We're in the middle of discussing this machlokas that we had on the bottom of daf Ches Amid Aleph. It's actually machlokas from the Mishnah, whether a case of Moti Shemra requires 3 dayanim or a case of Moti Shemra requires 23 dayanim, and we were giving several explanations for the machlokas, whether the issue is about choshishin lala'az, and machlokas Rashi tells us what choshishin lala'az means, but not time to revisit that now, whether it's an issue of choshishin l'kvodan shel rishonim, that were choshish for the kavod of dayanim who may initially be on a case, and then when it turns into a dini mamnas case, not be on the case anymore. So the Gemara, where we left off, we're up to Abaye Yamar. So Abaye is going to suggest the third possibility of what the machlokas might be about. It's halfway down the page, end of the line. Abaye Yamar, Dukuli Alma Cheshin Laz Umishim Kvodon Shel Rishonim. Everyone really agrees that we are Choshish Laz, and we are Choshish for Kvod Shel Rishonim. Hachabim Ayaskin, and what are we dealing with over here? Kigon to Asru Bastam, that the Hasra'a given to the girl was a Stam Hasra'a. They never were very specific in the Hasra'a. The high Tanahu, and we're following the opinion of the following Tana. The Tanya, we have a Brisa. Ushar kol chayavim misos shabatorah. All other misos in the Torah. What does it mean? All other misos in the Torah, except for what? So Rashi tells us the context. Gabe mesis kai. Right, we're talking in the context of a mesis. Drachman amar lo sachmo v'lo chase v'nerag b'li asra l'idei achman asedim. That a mesis is different than all other misos in the Torah in the sense that we're not allowed to have rachmanas on a mesis. By every other chiyuve misa, there is a mitzvah v'hitzilu ha'eda. We have to do whatever we can to try to get the guy off the hook. We never like to kill somebody. We never want to be in a position. Bezin never wants to be in a position where they have to kill somebody. The famous Gemara Makos, that a Bezin that kills once every 7 years, once every 70 years, is considered a violent Bezin. We're not interested in killing such people. A Mesis, however, we do whatever we can to kill him. When it comes to a Mesis, he'll be killed without Hasra'a. A Mesis could be killed by hiding Edim behind a bush or something to watch him and to serve as the Edim on his Hasasa. So, when we say Shar Kol Chayavim Misa Shabbatorah, we're saying everyone but the Mesis, Ein Mamisim Osam Ela Be'eda Ve'edim V'Hasra'a. You can only kill them if you have Eda. What's Eda? So we said V'Yitzilu Eda, V'Shaftu Eda, V'Yitzilu Eda. That's the source of requiring a Beis Din Sanhedrin Shel Chav Gimel of 23 Dayanim. So every other Misa in the Torah, you need Eda, you need a Beis Din of Chav Gimel, V'edim, and you need Edim, V'Hasra'a, and you need Hasra'a, V'ad Shiyodi'uhu Shu Chayiv Misa Be'Beis Din. And you have to let him know that the Edim have to let him know when they give him Hasra'a that he's going to be chayiv misa and beis din if he violates this avera. However, Tanakama seems to say that's all they have to let him know. They don't have to get any more specific than that. They don't have to tell him which misa he's going to get. All they have to tell him is that he's going to get misa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiyodiyuhu Be'eza Misa Hunerag. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not enough. They have to tell him which misa he's going to receive. So the machlokas over here is when the hasra'a was given stam. Do you need 23 dayanim or do you need only 3 dayanim? If you hold that, like the Tanakama, that even when hasra'a is given stam, you can still be mechayiv misa. So we better get 23 dayanim involved in this case right away, because it can easily turn into a dini nefashos case. The case of Motzi Shemra, even if the husband, let's stick with the Shitas Rashi of what's going on over here, even when the husband is coming to just claim that he doesn't have to pay the ksuba because she cheated on him, but that causing that kind of scene in Beis Din by making such a claim might lead to la'az, which Rashi understood as meaning that Edim might come and say, yeah, we know all about that. We saw this woman with a man, and they're going to be made that she in fact did cheat on him, in which case she's going to be chayiv misa, and then you're going to need 23 dayanim. So we are choshish for la'az. We're choshish that it's going to turn into a case where you're going to need 23 dayanim, and we don't want to start with 3 and then add another 20. If we might need 23 dayanim, and we think it's likely we're going to need 23, we want to start with 23. So if you hold that the hasra'a given in the most general sense is enough of a hasra'a, so then you need to start with 23 dayanim. That's the sheet of the chachamim. But if you hold like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that when you give hasra'a, it needs to be specific. You need to say exactly which chiyuv misa you're going to get. And this woman did receive hasra'a, but it was never specific. She was never told what she's going to get, which misa she's going to get. Therefore, it could never turn into a case of dinin fashos because she never had sufficient hasra. It doesn't matter how many edim came; it doesn't make a difference. We know that her hasra was only meaning. It does make it meaning if edim eventually come and say, "Yeah, we gave her hasra about which misa," that would obviously change everything. But we're assuming that edim came the first time, and when edim come, they told us, "Yeah, we gave her hasra, but we gave her a very general type of Hasra'a." If that's in fact what happened, then we assume that any future Edom aren't going to be any better than the first Edom that come. Right? That was the Ukimta, the major Ukimta Rashi had in the whole Lamed over here. Not really an Ukimta, but the major idea that Rashi said, the only way this Amud makes sense is if you assume the best Edom are the first ones to show up. And that we're not going to assume anyone better is going to show up. So if the first Edom that show up say, our Hasra was a Parva Hasra, it wasn't specific at all, then there's no way it's ever going to turn into Dina Nefashos. And that's why you would only need three Dayanim. That's why you would only need a Beis Din Shel Shalosh. You wouldn't need a Beis Din Shel Chaf Gimel. That seems to be the Machlokas. Now the idea of Mesis not requiring Hasra'a, and having a totally different halacha, seems to put Mesis in its own unique category. However, there are three other examples of Chiyuve Misa that don't require Hasra'a. On Daf Ayin Gimel, we're going to see Rashi writes that a Ben Sor Mora doesn't get Hasra'a. We kill a Ben Sor Mora even without Hasra'a. On Daf Pechesam Beis, we're going to say that a Zaken Mamre doesn't get Hasra, and on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to say that Edim Zomim don't get Hasra. So Mesis isn't alone in the Hasra issue. He might be alone in Los Achmol Los Chasel of that you're not allowed to have any Rachmanis on him. Yeah, that might be limited to a Mesis. But the idea of no Hasra is something that we do find in other Chiyuve Misa throughout the Masechta. So Ma Kesha, what's the connection between all four of those cases where you don't get Hasra? So the Gemara and Daf Peites is going to say that there's another common link between these four, between Edom Zomim and Zaken Mamre, Ben Sor Mora, and Mesis, and that is that they all require Hachraza, that Beis Din has to make a very public deal out of the fact that they're going to kill them. That it has to be a very public issue. It shouldn't be something that's kept quiet at all. The Ramban in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, Parash Kisetze says on the Pasuk of Ben Sor Mora, he writes that Ben Sor Mora is nidon al shem sofa, like the Gemara says, in order that his misa should be a takana la'acherim. He's nidon al shem sofa based on what he did not yet do, so that his misa could maybe serve as a takana for other people. Lashon Ramban is lo humas begodel cheto el eliyaser bo sarabim. He's not killed for how big his avera is. He's killed as a sign to the public to take notice. And the Ramban writes that that's why it says by Ben Sor Mora, v'kol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro. Where does it ever say that by anywhere else? That you kill a murderer, kol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro. No, it's dafka by Ben Sor Mora. It's meant to be kol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro. That it doesn't say that in the Torah by Chil Shabbos. Doesn't say Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro when someone's Mechal Shabbos, because it's not an issue of publicizing and making sure everyone hears. By Ben Sor Mora, it's about making sure other people know about it. So apparently, the whole idea of Ben Sor Mora is a takana for the tzibur. And perhaps the same is true by Zaken Mamre. It says by Zaken Mamre also, the Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro, for the same reason, that the hora'a against the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, is not a severe enough avera that a person should die for. He's chayv Misa in order to maintain the cover that people have to have for the Sanhedrin, that what he does causes a breakdown in the infrastructure of the Jewish people. But it's not that the Avera is so severe, it's that people need to realize that something like this is not going to go unpunished. The Ramban writes that the same is true for Edom Zomim, that how do I know Edom Zomim are not killed for the Avera that they did, for the Godel Achet, for how severe the Avera is? Because the halacha is, if hargu ein naragim, if the Edom Zomim actually had the other people killed, well then they're off the hook, then they don't get punished. So obviously it's not mipnei godel chetam, it's not because their avera was so big. So he says the whole idea of Edom Zomim is also, the Ramban writes, to be manish the tzibur, to punish the whole tzibur. And the same is true by Mesis. Mesis, how big of an... Normally, one of the ways that we judge the severity of an avera was how much of an action was done in the violation of that avera. What did the Mesis do? What was his action? It was Dibro Pe Bialma. He just spoke. He didn't do anything beyond using his mouth, right? We always teach our kids, use words. Don't, right? That's the best way to fight. That's the least. So all he did is he used words. He didn't do anything that severe in terms of his action. And nevertheless, we give him Misa. Why? The Tzadashava of all these inyanim, of all these four dinim, is that we're not punishing on the Chet itself. We're punishing for the sake of Takana La'acherim. This is a Takana for Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's a. That's why all of them require. That's why all of them do not require Hasra and do require Hachraza. It's all based on that same inyan, that same idea. It's all based on that same idea that the idea is that it's not being punished for the Godel Achet, they're being punished for Takana La'acherim. One more Ha'ara, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to let him know which Misa he's going to get. Margolias Hayam says, based on this, how did they ever kill the Megadif and the Mekoshesh? The whole story in the Torah is that they didn't know what Misa they were supposed to give them. So how could they have killed the Megadif? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Hasra has to be, you need to know what the din is and what kind of Misa they're going to get. Well, then how did they kill the Megadif and the Mekoshesh? So he quotes that which you need to know and need to let them know what Misa they're going to get is because Yitachin, it's possible that if you warn them that they're going to get Chanek, that wouldn't stop them from the Avera, but if they would know that they're going to get Skila, that would have been enough to stop them. So it's possible that your Hasra wasn't enough, it wasn't scary enough, that you need to tell them the full force of the punishment that they're going to get in order to stop them from doing the Avera. However, he says, it could be that that's only true by other Batei Din. But by the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's as if it's Klapei Shamaya Galia, meaning, we mentioned over Shabbos, every Beis Din, and we keep mentioning them in the Daf, the whole idea of a Beis Din, the whole idea of Sanhedrin, is based on the concept that we do what we can, and then we rely on the Ribbono Shalom to fill in the blanks. Right? We rely on the fact that there's a backup system. That's true of every Beis Din, says Margolis Yam, after the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu employed the Ribbono Shalom's help directly. That the Ribbono Shel Olam was Klapei Shamaya Galia, what someone's kavanas were, and if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was able to write the Torah, he was the one that was able to bring out the das of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he was able to determine would the guy have violated the Avera, even if he even had he gotten the proper Asra'ah. Meaning, we warned him that he's going to be Chayiv Misa, so we didn't tell him which one. So a normal Beis Din would say, well, we don't know, maybe he would not have violated the Avera had he known which one. The Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu was able to make that determination. He quotes this idea that lo b'shamayim hi, the concept of not determining halacha based on Ruach HaKodesh was only true after the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu determined the halacha based on Shemayim, based on what he got from Shemayim. He got everything from Shemayim. He's the one that brought everything down. The Torah wasn't chasuma yet when Moshe Rabbeinu was being done. So of course it was min haShemayim. That concept of lo b'shamayim, it's a tremendous chiddush, tremendous ha'ara. That concept of lo b'shamayim only took hold after the Beis Din of Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. He says that's why the Mecharif and the Megadif, the Mekoshesh and the Megadif, were able to get Misa, even though they never received specific Asra'ah about what Misa they were going to get. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Rav Papa Amar Hacha B'Isha Chaveira Askinan. Rav Papa says, now we're talking over here about a woman who is, meaning the Motzi Shemra case, is about a woman who knows Halacha very well. She's a very learned woman. The Kamif B'Pukta Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda V'Rabbanan, and the Machlokas revolves around the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda Omer, Chaver Ein Sarach Hasra. Rabbi Yehuda says that a chaver does not require asra. Talmud Chacham, a guy who knows his stuff, does not require asra. L'fishlon in asra, lahafkin min shogeg lemezid, because the whole purpose of asra is only to figure out whether the person is doing it b'shogeg or mezid. Meaning, the Rav Papa is assuming that yes, we're choshesh l'kvodan shal rishonim and we're choshesh l'laz. And if this could ever turn into a dinei nefashos case, we would want 23 dayanim over here. Why do we only have 3 dayanim? Why do we only have 3 dayanim according to Rabbi Meir? Because the case is that the Eidim that he brought to the Din Torah with him said that they never gave Hasra. And the issue is, the woman happens to be an Isha Chaveira. She happens to be a very learned woman. So the issue is, does she need Hasra? So a mayor held that even though she's a Chaveira, you can't kill her without Hasra. Whereas the Chachamim held that no, they held like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The whole point of Asra is to determine that the person knows that what he's doing is wrong, and Isha Chavera obviously knows that what she's doing is wrong, and that's good enough. As long as they know that what they're doing is wrong, that's going to be good enough. Fine, says Gemara Vayta. Rav Ashi Amar, bottom line on Chesam Beis, Rav Ashi Amar, Kigon to Asru Be Malkus Velo Asru Be Ketala. The cases where they were warned, they got Asra about Malkus, but no Asra about murder. No Asra, not murder, no Asra about getting killed, about being Chayiv Misa. V'kamifli b'pukta Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanan. And the Machlokas is in the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbanan. Tetanan Makos b'shlosha Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Makos b'esrim b'shlosha. Meaning this will never turn into a Misa case, because there was never Hasra for Misa. There was Hasra for Malkus. And by Chiyuv and Misa's Beis, apparently, we'll see, there could be Hasra for Malkus, and then you'll get Malkus instead of Misa. However, the Machlokas is, do you need 23 Dayanim for Malkus? That's the whole issue. So a Meir holds you need only 3 Dayanim, and the Rabbanan hold you need 23 Dayanim. How many answers we have so far? I think it's number 5, right? 5 explanations so far of the Machlokas between Meir and the Rabbanan in the Mishnah. Now, Tosos and Rashi, really, are bothered by this last one. If you look at the top Rashi, the Asru Be Malkus for Asru Be Ketala, the Havade Lo Miktala El Aloka. You're certainly not going to be Mechayev the person Misa. You never gave them Asra for Misa. The worst I can get is Malkus. Dein Lecha Misas Bezin Shlo Nemar Balav. Why they can get Malkus? Because every Misas Bezin is at least a Lo Sasei. And the default position of a Mitzvah's Lo Sasei is that you get Malkus for a Lo Sasei. Aye, but don't we have several rules about mitzvos lo sase that don't get malchus? Right? Like a lav hanita klase doesn't get malchus, lav shein bo maisa doesn't get malchus, and lav shenitin lasaras misas bezdin. A lav that one is chayiv misas bezdin on, if warned properly and with proper edim, you also can't get malchus on. So says Rashi, the kasavar lav shenitin lasaras misas bezdin, Lokin alav, we must. This Gemara must be assuming, like the Shita, that holds that a lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin, you do get malchus on, even though typically we assume you don't get malchus on lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin. Well, that's not going to make sense over here, because over here you have a woman who cheated on her husband, supposedly, and if she did that, it's really a lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin. They didn't give her the asra about the misa, and they're going to give her malchus instead. Apparently, the Gemara must be assuming lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin, you get malchus for. Tosos makes the same assumption. Va'asya k'mandi amar lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin lokin alav, right? That's the malchus. Now the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tav Kuf Ayin says that you don't need to say like Rashi and Tosos, that there's another way to explain why you'd get malchus over here. He quotes, and the Mitzvah Tav Kuf Ayin is the Mitzvah of Losia Kadesha. So the Minchas Chinuch writes that according to the Ramban, that's quoted by the Sefer HaChinuch, that all arayos where kiddushin would not be tofsin, any time you violate an arayos where there would be no tfisas kiddushin if you tried to marry the person, it would be a violation of this lav. It would be a violation of losia kadesha. So then he says it could be that by all arayos of chayav krisos where there's no kiddushin tofsin, like achosa when such similar arayos, they would all get malchus if you give hasra'a for malchus of kedesha. They'd be lokeshtei malchus, the lav of the chiv kares, as well as the lav of losia kedesha, whichever it is. And if it's an arayos that you're chayiv misas beizin for, and you didn't give hasra'a for the misas beizin, you only gave hasra'a for malchus, so then it could be that you would get malchus for it. So says the Minchas Chinuch, according to the Ramban, he says, Uldivre Ramban miyushav kushis Rashi v'tosos Sanhedrin daftas. According to the Ramban, the kasha Rashi and Tosos ask in Sanhedrin daftas is not a kasha at all. Because it says in the Gemara that if you give hasra for the malchus and not for misa, they're going to get malchus. Isn't it a lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin? So nidchuku Rashi v'tosos sham disfirle delokin shaloki ilchasa. So Rashi and Tosos say this whole Gemara is shalok halacha. The whole Gemara is assuming, like the Shita, that a lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin, you do get malchus on. However, according to the Ramban, it's fine. They gave her the hasra'a of malchus not for Eishas Ish. They said, no, you're going to violate an isra of malchus of kedesha. and not freishas ish. And that's taka lav that you do get malchus for. So that's why the Gemara assumes you get malchus. Not that it's a lot. It's kedusha is not nitin lasaras misas bezin. The isra of freishas ish is nitin lasaras misas bezin. But the isra of kedusha, so fine, she's going to get malchus for that reason alone. Okay, says the Gemara vayter. Ravina Amar, Kigon Shem Nimsa Echon Mene Edim Karov Apostle. The case is one of the Edim was turned out to be a Karov or Apostle. The Kamifl Yibapukta Drabi Yossi Virebi Alib Drabi Akiva. And the Machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, this is Pshat number 6 in the Machlokas, really revolves around the same Machlokas as Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. What's that about? Titznan, we have a mission as follows. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Loba Shlishi Elo Lahachmir Lav. The Torah does something very strange when it describes Edus. It says, Alpi Shnayim Edim, Yakum Davar, and then Oshloshe, Alpi Shnayim Oshloshe Edim. Why Alpi Shnayim Oshloshe Edim? If two Edim are enough evidence, then certainly three Edim are going to be enough evidence. What's the point of saying two or three? So Rabbi Akiva says a chiddush. Loba shlishi ela lahachmir lav. By mentioning that third aid, it's telling you that the third aid is only there to add an extra chumrah. Lasos dino kayotze be'elu. To make the din of the third aid the same as the din of the first two Edim. Imkein anosha kosvus anitva la over avera ka over avera alachas kama vekama sheishalim scharis anitva lo samitva kosa mitzvah. If we're going to punish someone who violates an avera, who is only a nitval, who is not even necessary for the violation of the avera, he's just an add-on, he's a third wheel on the avera, and still he's going to get punished like the people who initiated and were necessary for the violation of the avera. So kal v'chomer, someone who's nitval lo samitzvah, someone who gets involved the name mitzvah project, that could carry on without him, that could have happened without him, and he's not even one of the big movers and shakers, he's not one of the big people to make the push in the mitzvah, but he joined in, he's midatov is meruba midas peranus, so for sure he's going to get the schar of nosa mitzvah. So mashnayim nimsechem karov apostle edusim betela, and just like if you have two edim and one of the edim is found to be a karov or apostle, the whole edus is thrown out the window. Afshosha nimsechem karov apostle edusim betela. So too, if you have three edim and one of them is found to be a karov apostle, the edus is going to be batel. Uminayin shafilu meya tamalomar edim. How do I know that even if there are 100 edim and one of them is found to be a karov apostle, pasuk says edim. Stam, however many Edim, Abishnaim Oshlosha Edim, however many Edim might be, if one of them is found to be a Karv Apostle, they're all out the window. What does it mean, Lahachmir Lav, besides for saying that Nimsechnim Karv Apostle, right? The Rabbi Kiva seemed to make two separate statements. Number one, that having the third guy is just there, Lahachmir Lav, to make him just like the first two. And then he says, plus, if one of them is found to be a Karv Apostle, any one of them, even the third guy, then the whole Edus is batel. So then what was the first thing that he was talking about? That's the Hachmir love. So if you look at Rashi, Loba Shlishi, Dimi Mashmash Nemar al Pishnayim Edim, Kolshkein Shlosha, Loma Nemar O Shlosha Edim. Why does it have to say O Shlosha Edim? Elo Lahachmir love Litin Chomer Be'ede Sheker, Sheshlishi Ze, Afal Pishlo Haya Ze Nidon al Piv Lemisa. If he's lying, he's going to get punished the same as the first two guys who were lying. Now, this third guy was unnecessary. Had the first two guys come and been made, that would have been enough to seal the case. But nevertheless, when this third guy added on and told his own lies, we treat him like the first two. Shem huzmu yahari gafashlishi mepneishen nitva lo over avera. If the edim become edim zomim, now he it's actually is a muskulan. He needs to be become an ed zomim also. But the point is that even though he wasn't critical for the initial gemar din, nevertheless, if he becomes an ed zomim, he's going to be punished with the full force of a regular ed zomim. The rush of Maseches Makos quotes in the name of the Rif that this whole idea of Nimsachim Karov Apostle, that the Edus is going to be batel, he says that's only when the Ksherim realized that one of the people they were with was a Karov or Apostle that was together with them, and they nevertheless still were mitzdarif with them, so then it's going to be Edus and Betela. But if they didn't know that the guy was a Karov or Apostle and the third guy became Apostle, so that's not going to be Mevatel, the Edus of the first two. They never intended to be mitzdarif with the Apostle. That's not going to ruin them just because a puzzle was there. So anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bamedvar Mamurim, when do we say that this is true? Again, that what? That if one of them is found to be a carver or a puzzle, that the whole edus is thrown out the window? That's only Bedine Nefashos. That's only when it comes to Dine Nefashos cases. Aval Bedine Mamunis, the sky made us Peshar. But if it were a Dine Mamunis case, then as long as you still have two kosher edim, we don't care that 10 guys came and 8 of them are puzzle. As long as you're left with two kosher edim that saw that Ruvain borrowed money from Shimon, Ruvain's going to owe the money to Shimon. That's going to be good enough edus. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Again, this is all explaining within Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one that made this comparison that Shlosh is like Shnayim in the sense that Echad Meim Karav Apostle ruins the whole thing. So Rabbi Yossi says that's only a din in Dinei Nefashos, but not by Dinei Mamonos. Rabbi Omer, Echad Dinei Mamonos v'Echad Dinei Nefashos. Rabbi says that's a din both by Dinei Mamonos and by Dinei Nefashos, that if one of them is found to be a Karav Apostle, the whole Eidos is going to be batel. Ve'emasai, but when is this true? Bizman shehisru behen. That's only when the karuv or the pasul gave the hasra'a to the person violating the avera. That's when the karuv pasul is considered part of the group of people who are trying to be edim. Aval bizman shelo hisru behen. But if the karuv pasul happened to have been there, but he didn't, he wasn't one of the people who issued any sort of hasra'a. He wasn't one of the people that issued any sort of hasra, so then that's not going to ruin the whole group of Edim. Even by Dina Nefashos case, that's not going to ruin the whole group of Edim. Anybody could kill somebody in Times Square, and you're going to be fine, because you're guaranteed there's going to be at least one puzzle in the group. So as long as you get 100 people, 1,000 people to watch the murder, so you should be okay then. Right, because as long as you have one pasul, it ruins everybody. So that's ridiculous. Obviously, if it's such a public act and everyone saw it, why should it ruin everything? So the point is that if the karuv or pasul was not one of the people giving asra, then it's not going to ruin the edus. The only way that it sounds from this gemara, by the way, that the only way that edim become edim, what determines a shame edim, is the shas hasra. Is what determines the shame edim. This is, in fact, a major machlokas rishonim. We'll get to in just a second. First of all, the broader context of our gemara. What are we trying to say? We're trying to say the machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, whether motzi shemer requires 3 dayanim or 23 dayanim, is this machlokas about whether dine mamonos has the din of Nimsach and Karav Apostle Edusim Batela, or it's Dafka Din in Dine Nefashos. That's going to be the issue. That's the whole machlokas in our mission. That is sheet number, 6 or 7? I forgot how many we're up to already. But Tosus over here writes in this long Tosus, Dibra Maskel Bizman Shehisruben writes that they were miskavin lahayid. Because they were miskavin lahayid, we don't say nimtzachim nimkarav apostle edusim b'teila. It has to be that they all actually show up to Beis Din. But if you kill someone in Times Square, take that case, and there are psulim or there are krovim that are in the group, that's not going to be a problem of nimtzachim nimkarav apostle. It's only if those psulim and those krovim then try to show up to Beis Din and give their edus. Re'il l'chud, that they were miskaving to be made, doesn't count. Because if you don't say that, says Tosfos, very interesting, right? He says, every get in the world is going to be pasul. Because every get, someone, you know, the woman brings a little bit of support, she needs emotional support, she brings her sister, she'll bring some family member, right? Someone will come to watch. So every get in the world is going to be possible, because as long as someone saw it, and they're miskaving to see it and to see that, make sure that it really happens, so that they're not going to come to Beis Din. They're just miskaving to see and to see that what goes on. So that's miskaving the hayid, isn't it? To know exactly what happens. So that's that would ruin everything. Now the Rosh Maseches Makos doesn't only mention Gittin. He says every kiddushin in the world would be bad, because there are always krovim. You always invite relatives to your wedding. So you have 2 kosher edim, but you also have hundreds or dozens of non-kosher edim that are at your wedding. So every kiddush in the world would be bad. The question is, why did Tosfos not mention kiddushin? Why is he only worried about gittin and not kiddushin? So it could be he was just giving an example. He gives the example of gittin, but the same would apply for kiddushin. But normally Rishonim are much more precise than that. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Ebn Ezra Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf, where he says the fact that Tosfos doesn't mention kiddushin and they only mention gittin is because when you come to a get, you come to see to make sure that everything is done properly and to make sure that it gets done in the right way. And therefore, it's a problem Tosfos raises, that shouldn't that passel all the Edom who are there, as long as there are Krovim that are also coming to see that everything was done the right way. And that's why Tosfos has to say their teretz, that no, you're only going to passel when it's Nimzach and Nimkar of a passel, if you're Niskaven, if you actually show up to Beis Din. But by Kiddushin, where most of the people are not there to see the giving of the ring and the saying of Harei Mekadeshes, what are they there for? To hear the brachos, to be Mesameh Chasam Vekala. They're there for other reasons. They're not there to actually see the ceremony. They're busy sending emails on their BlackBerry during the ceremony. They could care less about actually seeing the ceremony. But nevertheless, they're edus, they happen to be edim al yidei umdina. How many people even see what's really going on under the chuppah? It's edus umdina, that mistama. There's a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi there, and there's a chassan, there's a kala. Probably the chassan is giving the kala ring, saying harei mekadesh shel b'tabazu, and he's doing it properly, right? It's edus umdina. So he said, now edus umdina might be edus, it might be enough, but it's a different kind of edus than edus ri'iya. So edus umdina and edus ri'iya means what we call edus yudia versus edus ri'iya, which is a very interesting concept, sheer for a different time, when edus yedia is good enough, knowing something without actually seeing it, when you know something to be true. What's the classic example of edus umdina? When you have an edus, the Gemara Makos Tav Zayin talks about, if you have edus, if you have edus on a noef and no efes, so do you need to be made kemakhl b'shoferes, that you actually saw penetration from the noef to the noef? Very difficult to say. So probably kiterech ha-menafim. You see that it looks like that they're committing adultery. So you don't see exactly that there was mamash ha-maisabiyah, but you see that what they're doing, it doesn't look like they're fighting. It looks like they're committing adultery. So that's enough. That's Edus Yedia. The famous modern example of Edus Yedia, Rav Moshe Feitstein's tshuva about Chol of Yisrael. Why are we allowed to drink, according to Rav Moshe, milk that's approved by the U.S. government if there was no Jew that was watching over the milking of the cow? So an afna halach in Shulchan Aruch, that Jew needs to know that the milk came from a cow and not from anywhere else. So Moshe says the Jew does know, because we know that there are government regulations, and they never would have made it into the supermarket being sold as regular milk if it wasn't cow milk. So it's Edus Yedia. We don't have Edus Re'iya. But anyway, says the Chasam Sofer, if you have two kinds of Edim at the same event, then they're for sure not Mitzarev. You have two Edim who see, who are Edus Re'iya. And then you have everybody else, the Krovim in the crowd, who are Edus Yedia. It's Edus of Umdana. So that's the two kinds of Edus are not going to be Mitzarev. One made on the Kiddushin and the Atzman, and one being made on the Umdana. But then the Chasam Sofer says he changed his mind. He says because he saw that the Makna writes that every Edus Kiddushin is only Edus Umdana, because they cover the face of the Kala. So no one really knows that it's really the Kala. So it's always Edus of Umdana. Now that probably depends on how thick the veil is, right? In certain communities, the veil is extremely thick, and they really don't know who the Kala is. Sometimes some communities, they have a thick veil, but they pick up the veil so the Edom could identify that it's in fact the Kala. But based on the Makna, that some sofer says maybe all Edus Kiddushin is always Edus Yedia, it's never Edus Re'iya. Then he quotes from the Avni Miluim that then is really a sheet of the Ritvan Kiddushin, that it's always appropriate to be Miyachid Edim, to identify Edim who you want for your Edus Kiddushin. That's why we call up specific people for Edus Kiddushin, even though you have a room full of people, hundreds of people there, we are Miyachid Edim, and that way you're Mevatel everybody else from being an aid, and you single out these people Bedafka to be an aid. Some sofer says, and if it turns out that one of the Edim that you are miyachid is a carver apostle, he thinks miyakra, then she's still mekudeshes. Because by Edus Lekiyum Adavar, we assume the das of the Baal is to only include an Edus, those who could be Edim. So he, even though they were miyachid Edim, it's because he thought that guy was kasher. But we assume as long as there are two kasher Edim in the room, Sam Sofer thinks that that would be good enough meikra adin. Nevertheless, he says, Miyos Tov, it wouldn't hurt us to pull the Chasan and Kala into a room afterwards with two Kasher Edim and have them do the Kiddushin again, rather than to be Marish Olam Limtso Heter, he says, to rattle the world and turn everything upside down to find some sort of Heter, much easier to just do the Kiddushin again. Not always so poshly, emotionally, to do something like that. Right? You can come to them during Shavu Brachos, oh yeah, we know you were together the first night, you may have been living in sin. Let's try that again. So it's not always so easy to say to people. So but anyway, that's what Chasam Sofer says, that it's better to be machmir in that kind of case. Now, obviously, there's a major sugya about when Edim are nikva b'shem Edim, when they take on the status of a group of Edim. Just say Rashi Prakim. The Shita of the Ri is that Edus is Nikva B'Shas Haggadah. That's what I was referring to before with Tosos, that Tosos says they're only going to be considered one kind of Edus, not only if they saw the event together, but they saw it and then they show up to Beis Din together. That's when they're going to be. It's the Shas Haggadah that is going to determine. Second shita is the shita of the Rashbam. Rashbam holds, again, Tosos quotes this as well, that it's all nikva b'shas ri'iya. That when the Gemara, that our Gemara seems to assume that it's nikva b'shas ri'iya, the Gemara Makos of Rovea Yatzil, Horeg Yatzil, it seems to assume that it's nikva b'shas ri'iya. Meaning the Gemara Makos says, if nimsechunim karav apostle edusim b'teila, so then how could you ever be made that Reuven murdered Shimon? Reuven was always there, and he saw it. So isn't he a karav apostle? How could he's one of the people who saw. He was one of the people at the event. So it should always be Nimsech and Nimkar of Apostle. It sounds like a crazy, it's a Gemara's Kasha. Right? The Gemara says, Horeg Yatzil, let the Horeg be Matzil himself. So Rashi explains, the answer of the Gemara is that Hainu Edim Avalo Ba'osei Hadavar. That's only true when it comes to Edim, not people who are actually involved in the Maisa. Right? There's a difference between Edim to a Maisa. There's a difference between an Aid Apostle and not having a Shame Aid Klal. An aid pasul is someone who's an aid, witnesses an event, and who's an outsider witnessing the event, but he's pasul. He's a mesachik b'kuvia, he's a whatever, he has some sort of psul, he's a karov. Then there's something that's no shame aid klal, has no shame aid whatsoever. He's not an aid to the event, he's part of the event, he's a baldavar. So the horeg is not an aid to his murder of the other guy, he's a baldavar to his murder of the other guy. So when he has no shame aid klal, so that's why that's how Rashi understands the Gemara's answer in Maseches Makos. But the assumption seems to be, says the Rashbam, that otherwise, as long as he was there at the time of the event, it's Shas Ri'iya, that's what makes a person an aid. Now, this guy happens to have not been an aid because of he's not a Shem aid, he's a Baldavar. But otherwise, anyone who witnessed the event, as long as you're there at Shas Ri'iya, that's what's going to be Mitztarif. And the third possible Shita is that Edus is Nikva B'Shas Hasra, which really is the Pashup Shad of the Gemara. And Tosos quotes that idea as well, that Edus is Nikva B'Shas Hasra, that only the Edim Ksherim should give Hasra, and if only the Edim Ksherim give Hasra, then you're okay, you don't have the problem of Nimsa Echemem, Karov Apostle. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. V'iba Yisema, Kigon Shehisruba Acherim, V'iba Yisema, Kigon Shehisruba Acherim, V'lo Hisruba Edim. Or we could say the machlokas is that other people gave hasra'ah, the edim didn't give hasra'ah. So is that good enough? The guy is about to commit a crime, and someone else gives the woman in this case, the motzi shemra, is about to. In the case of motzi shemra, she's about to sleep with another guy, and the hasra'ah was given by other people, not by the edim. The kamlifgli beplukta de Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan, and the machlokas revolves around the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. The tanan Rabbi Yossi omer li olam eino nerag. A person doesn't get killed until the two Edim give Hasra'ah. Shnemer Alpi Shnayim Edim. Alpi Shnayim Edim means that the Shnayim Edim themselves have to be the ones to give Hasra'ah. V'iba Yaseima, Kigon de Iskachosh Bebedikos, V'los Kachosh Bechakiros. Or you could say that the situation was that they contradicted each other when it came to the bedikos, but they didn't, the edim, that is, contradicted each other when it came to the bedikos questions, meaning they said, what color shirt was the guy wearing? And one of them said blue and the other one said yellow. So they contradicted each other in those kinds of questions, but they did not contradict in the chakiros. What are the chakiros? The more important questions, like what day was it? What time was it? Those kinds of very important questions, which are details, but are details that are critical to the case itself. The color of his shoes at the time that he committed the murder doesn't really make a difference. They are able to positively identify the person and the time and everything, so it doesn't really make a difference. We just ask those questions. So we don't need to ask all those questions, but we do. So what if they contradict themselves in the unimportant questions, but the Eidim don't contradict each other in the important questions? So v'kavimiflgi b'plukta de ben zakei v'rabanan. We have a machlokas ben zakei and the rabanan. D'tnan, maisu, baduk ben zakei, that Zakai would do Bedikos questions relating to the Uktse Te'enim, meaning the person said that the Edom said, yeah, the murder happened under a fig tree. So he said, those figs on that tree, did they have thick stems or thin stems? What kind of figs exactly? Those are the kinds of questions Ben Zakai would ask. So that's the issue. If they contradict in those kinds of questions, is that enough to withhold a Chiyuv Misa? And that's the situation that we're dealing with. That's the Machlokas from Meir and the Rabbanan. Rameir says you only need three Dayanim because it's not going to turn into a Chiyuv Misa case if they contradicted each other in those questions. And the Chacham say, nah, such contradictions don't bother us. Such contradictions is not going to ruin the Eidus. What's the point of asking it if even when they get the questions wrong, we're still going to allow them to be Eidim? Right? So the reason that we ask those questions is to intimidate them a little bit. So even though they don't really have to know the answers, they don't know that they don't really have to know the answers, so it's going to intimidate them. We try to scare them a little bit. Again, it's one of the many steps that are put into the process to avoid having to kill anybody, to avoid Beis Din having to actually issue a Chiyuv Misa. If you remember the Rambam we read yesterday at Shal Shudis, that Rambam in Hilchos Ritzicha, Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches, when he talks about a murderer and what you do with a guy who you can't give Misa to, one of the examples he gave of someone you can't give Misa to is Edim contradicted each other in the Bedikos but not in the Chakiros. That was one of the examples where he said, okay, we can't kill the guy anymore when they contradicted each other, but we can lock him up in jail and feed him a diet that's going to kill him. So that was the Rambam Shita. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, Hevia Bal Edim Shazinsa. Let's say the husband brings Edim that the woman was Mazana. Then the father brings Edim that turned the husband's Edim into Edim Zomimin. So Edim Abal Ne'aragin Ve'in Mishalman Mamon. The husband's Edim are going to get killed, but they won't pay money. Why? Meaning, didn't they, after all, try to save the husband from paying the ksuba, therefore costing the woman the ksuba money? So, I'm sorry, forget about the ksuba. What about the fact that the mea kesef? The husband was motzi shemra, and therefore he's chayv mea kesef. So weren't they trying to save the husband, the mea kesef, that he's really punished with? So you say, no, the mea kesef, he wasn't chayv until he brings edim that are motzi shemra against the woman. Then he's not going to be chayv, the mea kesef. So once he brings edim that are motzi shemra against the woman, that's what creates the chayv mea kesef. So they're not going to be chayv, the mea kesef, that they tried to save him from paying, because it just wasn't a chayv yet. The chayv didn't kick in yet at the time that they tried to get him off the hook. So they're going to get killed, but they're not going to pay money. Chazer v'hevi abal edim v'zim le'edeav. If the husband then brings edim that are mazim le'edeav, edeav av ne'eragenu mishalman mamon, then the edeav are going to get killed and pay money, because they're trying to cause the husband to pay the mea kesef, which is already a chiv once he brought his first edim, right? And they've been disproven. So they tried to get him to pay the mea kesef, so now they're going to have to get killed and pay the money. Why isn't it kam le'bidrav mine? You can only get the more severe of the two? Well, mamon l'zeh, nefashos l'zeh. The money he owes to one party, the nefashos they owe to another party, they're killed because of the Edom, because they tried to kill the Edom. The mammon, they weren't trying to cost the Edom mammon. Who are they trying to cost the mammon to? The husband. So they owed it klape two different groups of people. So if you owe it klape two different groups of people, then you could be chayiv both the Misa and the mammon. Just one last thing. The Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Tavkuf Nun Gimel, asks a very sadistic question about this whole concept of Motzi Shemna. He says, we have a concept in the Gemara in a couple of places in Shas, in Kiddushin, in Ksubas Taftes, where the Gemara discusses the concept of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura. That if a person says that my wife is asur to me, even though we don't know of any proof that she's asur to him, but fine, you want to say she's asur to you. Omer Pesach Pesuch Matzasi Neman Le'Osralav. Husband comes to court and says, I found Pesach Pesuch, my wife was not a Besula. So we say, fine, she's asur to you. Why? On his own say-so. So Minchas Chinuch says, how do you ever have a case of Motzi Shemra? What's the punishment for Motzi Shemra? A guy is Motzi Shemra on his wife, so he has to pay Mea Kesef, and Velosia Leisha, he has to remain married to her forever. How could he remain married to her? What about Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura, that he made her asur to him? So it's interesting, you really have to look into what Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura really means. So Shavya Nafshei, there's a major discussion that Ketzos has, is Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura considered a din in Ne'emanos, that we believe him to be Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura, or is it din in Neder, And the Ketzos says it can't be neder. It's impossible that it's neder. So it can't be. It couldn't possibly be neder because then you would have all the requirements of nedarim. There's a third shita, which is might be what the shita that holds neder really means, which is the shita of the Truma Sakri. The brother of the Ketzos says that Shavi Anafshe Chatiru Disura is not a din neder. It's not a din emanus. It's simply that if a person believes something is usher to them, they're not allowed to have it. Meaning, it could be that the person asked the rabbi, is this mutter? And the rabbi said, yes, it's mutter. And everyone else in the world thinks it's mutter. But they think it's chazer treif. Now, if you think it's chazer treif, you're not allowed to eat it. It could be the Sanhedrin Gadol tells you it's not chazer treif. But if you hold that it's chazer treif, you're not allowed to eat it. Shavi nafshei chatichu d'isura might just mean, if I really believe it's usher to me, then I can't have it, regardless of what other people tell me. That might be the whole lamdus of shavi nafshei. But anyway, the kasha of Minchas Chinuch is a bam kasha. He's got some terutzim, but it's a bam kasha. How do you ever have a case of motzei shema? Isn't it always shavi nafshei chatichu d'isura? But that will close. Okay.